Good afternoon, one and all. It's 1:06 p.m. on Wednesday, April 16th. I'd like to call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. With us this afternoon, Representative Hawker, Representative Tarr, Representative Seaton, Co-Chair Representative Feige, myself, Co-Chair Rep. Sadler. We have a quorum to conduct business. I would also welcome Representative T. Wilson and Representative Isaacson to the meeting. And I think we have a senior senator here in the back there. So I would encourage you all to kill your cell phones and as we take up our one legislative item on today's agenda, House Concurrent Resolution 22, in-state refineries. This is our second hearing on this resolution. We first heard it on March 17th. My intent and hope is to adopt a CS, have some committee discussion, take some public testimony, and report the resolution out of committee today. We are joined by Representative Kawasaki. Since our last hearing, the sponsor has worked with the committee and with the Department of Natural Resources to make some changes to the CS, and I would entertain a motion to adopt the CS as our working document.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 22, Version 28-LS1536-C, as the working document.
We have objection from Representative Seaton.
For the explanation of the change.
Certainly. Okay. We will have the sponsor, Representative Wilson, T. Wilson, up to explain the changes to the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Representative Tammy Wilson. I represent District 2, North Pole, Fairbanks. And the changes, basically, there's been a lot of changes going on, and that's why you all see a CS moving parts. We have taken out the sulfalane issue because since we last met, it has kind of taken a different turn where the appeal right now was somewhat satisfied on the 14 parts per billion. They're going to go back to the Department of Environment and Conservation, look at their scientific method, and that's kind of in hold for right now. So there really isn't anything for us to do until that gets done. What else you will see is, I guess part of my resolution was speaking more to interior refineries, although it did say in-state refineries because, you know, with the problems with Flint Hills and Petrol Stars. And as I've been working with the administration, it really is an in-state refinery issue. And what this will do is that it will direct some of the major issues that we're facing right now, the Quality Bank being one, which although it is being ran by the federal government, the state of Alaska does receive some of those funds. And the commissioner here is to speak a little bit more on that. The other part right now is ANS oil is still approximately $6 a barrel over the Texas price. And with that big gap in it, we're finding that our crude starts out higher. We also then have to use, for some of them, very high energy costs to be able to refine. And so it really does address more of what we need the administration now to do so that during the interim, we can see what else may be able to be utilized that's not currently there. But as soon as you adopt it, I'd like to have, if it's okay with the chairman, to have more detail done by the commissioner, because this has been a kind of, we've been working on this a lot with the changing pieces that are coming before you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I remove my objection.
Thank you. Representative Seaton has removed his objection. So we have before us for a working document CS for HCR 22 version C. And Mr. Representative, Commissioner Designee Balash, please come forward and talk to us about this resolution, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, Commissioner Designee for the Department of Natural Resources, hopefully for about 24 hours longer. We'll see.
Or not.
Did I just hear him say he didn't want to be confirmed?
I don't know.
Remember, it's a friendly group. They told me so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have been working on a handful of issues since the announcement by Flint Hills back in February that they were closing their doors. The sulfalane issues in particular with regard to cleanup standards at DEC, as well as the responsible party issues associated with the responsibility for cleanup, are all being worked very actively by the administration. The governor has had a subset of the cabinet working on these matters very closely. And so some of the issues that had been identified in the original version, as Representative Wilson indicated, have kind of fallen away. And what has become quite clear is that the Quality Bank dispute that is going on now at the FERC is something that we would like to see handled expeditiously, and we think is probably a critical step in order to keep PetroStar operating. Their facility in North Pole is one that relies on a pair of pipelines that run from taps over to the Flint Hills facility as well as the PetroStar facility. The revenue requirement for that pipeline system in 2013 was about $4.5 million. The split in the load between the two facilities was 85% Flint Hills, 15% PetroStar. And so because of that revenue requirement, there is very likely to be a much larger bill for PetroStar this year, and that bill will get even larger next year when they're the sole customer of the pipeline in 2015. So the approach that the administration has taken to date on this Quality Bank dispute is one where we certainly have an interest in making sure that the value of our crude oil that goes into the system at the top is accurately reflected in the royalty payments that we receive. But if there's any imbalance that is occurring with these in-state refinery charges, that's something that we are benefiting from disproportionately than any other party. And so we've got the most to gain or lose in such a resolution. And so the resolution has been, in the case of HCR 22, redrafted with some key points to, number one, address the statewide perspective that the co-chairs had expressed interest in the first hearing, and number two, to give some very specific direction to the administration on seeking resolution of the Quality Bank matters in front of the FERC by the first of next year. Given that this is a communication from the legislature to the executive branch, a concurrent resolution is the appropriate vehicle. And I do feel a little conspicuous in that this message is urging the governor and the attorney general to seek resolution. I'm happy to have DNR added to that if you think that's appropriate because of the royalty interests affected. Other than that, I think this hits a number of the highlights that we have been speaking to in support of another matter that hopefully you all will be seeing on the floor in the next, we'll call it hours at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Eric. Commissioner Designee Balash. Questions for the Commissioner? Representative Seaton.
Thank you. On page 2, lines 9 through 11, where we're talking about the cost of obtaining crude for the refineries here is higher, and we're talking about the Brent versus WTI price differential. If we adopt something that says we're going to sell some of our oil at WTI, isn't that going to give us problems in negotiating prices with the sale of the rest of our crude, and how can that be handled so it doesn't become a liability for lowering the price of all Alaska crude? In other words, selling in-state at one price and selling out-of-state at another price, that's the issue.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, that's an excellent point, and one that we actually considered earlier this year when the news of Flint Hills closing was announced. We began a series of conversations with the other refinery in North Pole, PetroStar, and actually gave a lot of hard consideration to selling royalty oil to PetroStar at a discounted price. But federal constitutional concerns kept us from exercising that particular option. And so you'll see in the rest of the resolution here, there is no urging of the administration to sell royalty oil at a discounted price. What this whereas is doing is calling out the fact that ANS crude is pricing higher on a per barrel basis than WTI. And right now, what we're seeing in the in-state refinery market, in the in-state jet fuel market, is competition from imported jet fuel. And that imported jet fuel is competing rather effectively against our in-state products, and that's putting a lot of the negative pressure on overall cash flow and balance sheets in this state. So really, all that's being called out here in this whereas is that price differential along with the quality bank charges, higher cost of energy, is calling out the things that are causing competitive problems for our refineries here in the state, just as substantiation for what is ultimately the resolve in lines 22 to 25.
Here. Question, Representative Feige, then Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regarding the imports, where is the competition coming from? Specifically, is it coming from the West Coast, the U.S., or is it coming from Asia? It's one thing, you know, the West Texas Intermediate price, although it's currently, what, $6 or $8, depending on the spread, below Alaska North Slope crude, that difference has actually been narrowing. It has had been at one time significantly lower than Alaska North Slope crude, and has gradually, the price of West Texas has been coming up.
Through the chair, Mr. Co-Chair, that is correct. At one point in time, that differential was in excess of $15 per barrel. More recently, it's been in the $10 range, and literally recently, in the sub-10, so single digits again, which is good. We think that in the long run, that we are going to see a return to normalcy, wherein ANS crude will price similar to WTI. Mm-hmm. And we think that's going to occur as infrastructure moves more of that mid-continent oil to the West Coast and to the East Coast and becomes part of the fungible liquid market that crude oil trades in. With regard to the sources of jet fuel that are competing here in Alaska, there's some from the West Coast and some from overseas refineries. And so one thing that is important to note is those overseas refineries get to bring their product in on non-Jones Act vessels. West Coast refineries come in on Jones Act vessels, and so we're primarily seeing stronger competition from those overseas outlets.
Okay. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a couple of the petroleum news articles about what's ongoing with the RCA and the FERC investigations of the Quality Bank. And so I just want to understand in this Be It Resolved, the most recent article I have here from the week of February 16th says the Flint Hills complaint was dismissed, but they're doing an independent investigation. So our goal in passing this is, you know, for that message to come as part of the decision that's going to be issued here as part of their independent investigation. And we're hoping they consider this. That's the thing we're trying to intervene with.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, I believe that's correct. I've not been able to keep up on all of the procedural aspects. I've been a little busy here. But my understanding is that the specific complaint and remedy sought by Flint Hills has been dismissed by the ALJ, the administrative law judge, yet there is an investigation underway, potentially an action. Now, exactly what will happen next will depend on the full commission, not the ALJ decision. Mm-hmm. So procedurally, this is going to spin out for many months, if not years. And I think the situation we face is one that can't afford to wait years. And so seeking a settlement by the parties is one way to circumvent that clock and hopefully get to a fair resolution sooner rather than later.
Representative Kawasaki, then Seaton.
Yep, thank you, And I think this is actually directed toward the sponsor in the Be It Resolved. There's a couple different items. One is seeking a settlement or resolution. And I guess from your point of view, what is a settlement and a resolution?
Representative Kawasaki through the chair. I just want to make sure that we're sitting at the table and we're being proactive in whatever, whether it would be a settlement or a resolution. At this point, I'm not sure what the state can do. All I do know is that the state does benefit from the Quality Bank, and so they can be part of the conversation that is currently going on. It's just, to me, it just leaves the options open.
Okay, so I guess this would be to Commissioner. What do you think a settlement resolution is, as defined here?
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Kawasaki. Settlement would suggest that we're going to reach a conclusion to this matter sooner than the process would ordinarily produce. Procedurally, something like this could take upwards of another 18 months. So we don't think that's the right time frame in which to get a decision and ultimately a resolution of this matter. What we're seeking, hopefully, is a methodology to be employed in the Quality Bank, specifically in those points south of Pump Station 1, so that our in-state refineries are not paying more than they ought to for the degradation of the crude oil stream that's going on when they go through their refining processes.
So follow-up,
Representative Kawasaki.
So is the state currently arguing to the point where we've got a number in place or a type of evaluation system in place for which to go forward? I'm not really sure about the process between FERC and how that works, and so that's why I'm a little confused with what this resolution does.
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, the Quality Bank is a rather complicated system that I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in. What I can describe generally is that it is intended to keep all parties economically whole. And when we have production on the North Slope, we've got multiple fields that have multiple varieties of crude, various qualities. As an example, the crude that's produced at Alpine is extremely high quality. It is the most valuable crude produced on the North Slope. But in order to get to market, it has to go into TAPS, and it has to join the slop from Milne, which is a much lower API gravity.
Is there somebody from BP here?
And so the idea here is that everybody's getting the same quality crude down at the Valdez Marine Terminal, and so those who bring higher quality crude to the table up at Pump Station 1 are being harmed economically, and the ones who are bringing the lower quality are benefiting. And so the Quality Bank is supposed to be a system to have the low-quality players pay in and the high-quality players take out and keep everything even. So when you take that a step further and you look at the refining process and the refineries we have here in Alaska generally pull the crude off of TAPS, take out the high-end products, diesel, home heating fuel, gasoline, and then put the resid back into TAPS, they've degraded that stream further, only they've degraded it for all of the other players in the system. And so the bank system uses a formula that looks at the specific components of the crude stream and the market values associated with each of those components. And I think that it's fair to say the refineries contend that the specific formula and pricing mechanisms are out of balance, that they don't reflect the market realities, especially on the West Coast, in which these particular barrels are being traded, that they have been contaminated, if you will, by pricing metrics and formulas that are more accurate or more relevant to the mid-continent where the glut is taking place. So I've probably stretched as far as I can in explaining this. There may be a witness or two available who could speak a little further on this point. But the goal we have as an administration is to see that a fair system be in place. We want to protect our interest, our value in the crude that's put in up at the slope. And to the extent that the quality bank is extracting more than it should from the refineries, the state treasury is benefiting to the tune of 40% or 50% of those overcharges or overpayments into the quality bank. That's caused by two things. One is our royalty interest at 12.5%, and the second is our marginal tax rate on production tax value, which is 35% of the remaining 87.5%. So, you know, all together, we're somewhere between probably 45% and 50% of the benefit that might be paid into the quality bank by these refineries. In 2013, that total impact we would peg somewhere around $50 million.
I'm going to ask a question here. On page 1, line 12 of this, there's reference to the effects of the refineries and changing the temperature of the throughput. They basically add heat. Does the quality bank or any other factor account for that differential in temperature and the benefit to the state?
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't believe the quality bank specifically recognizes that value, but my understanding is that there is at least one commercial agreement in place where the TAPS owners are compensating a refinery for the heat they return to the line.
Okay. Thank you. Got Representative Seaton and Feige.
Thank you. First of all, looking at the I think it was $4.2 or $4.5 million of pipeline operation to get it over there. Who owns the pipeline and who gets that money?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, Golden Valley Electric Association owns that pipeline. Hmm. And because it's a regulated facility, they receive a return on their original cost and a little bit of profit.
So following up on that, so if that's the case, is that calculated, I mean, is that all on a per barrel basis, or is that on just their investment and whatever that cost is plus operation or minus the up? And the cost would be the return on equity portion, is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, my understanding of the circumstance is that there is a revenue requirement, meaning there's an annual allocation for depreciation of the original investment made by Golden Valley, plus a return, and their variable operating costs. All of that adds up to $4.5 million. Sorry, different project. The $4.5 million then is recovered as the cost of service, and the number of barrels that go through can vary, and so that charge might be a little higher or lower in any given year, depending upon the demand of the refineries. In this case, with Flint Hills going from a very large number to zero in the second half of this year, the per barrel charge to PetroStar is going to go up by a rather large percentage, many multiples.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Feige.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. First one on the quality bank, and I'm aware of how the quality bank in theory works, I wasn't aware that the formula is a national formula. It's not Alaska specific.
Through the chair, Representative Feige, my understanding is that there are various components of the formula, products, if you will, and the pricing for some of those products rely on national indices as opposed to West Coast indices.
Okay. And then the second question, regarding the Golden Valley Electric Pipeline, what would be the cost of the state purchasing that asset?
Through the chair, Mr. Co-Chair, I have not inquired.
Okay. Just a random errant thought. Representative Tara's question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, so just to sort of get the context for the purpose of this, the original resolution was much more specific to resolving the issue at Flint Hills.
Yeah.
And now, because of ongoing work, you've taken a step back and instead wanted to address this in a more comprehensive way by focusing in on this quality bank methodology and how that impacts in-state refineries.
First, with regard to the chair, it was two things. It was one, reacting to the closure of Flint Hills,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not there were more actions that could be taken immediately to hopefully find someone to buy it sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they still have June 1st as when they will close the refinery portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it's brought to light a little bit more that not that they're not looking for someone to buy it, but for now they will be importing product, refined product,
mm-hmm.
and be selling it through there for the interior. Now also you have to realize that they also do the Anchorage Airport, and they'll be able to import that, go directly to the airport, mm-hmm. which cuts down on their transportation costs. So in the meantime, as we were looking at that portion of it, it gave more time to look at, now how does this, you know, how does PetroStar react to this? Because normally when a competitor closes, there's a lot of opportunity for that mm-hmm. other entity. Well, here you don't have that opportunity because, again, from my understanding, and I'm sure the commissioner will correct me if I'm not right, is that they plan on meeting their obligations. So there have been no new contracts out there
mm-hmm.
for PetroStar to be able to take advantage of. And even if there was some of that opportunity, there are things that they just have not been refining that they just don't have. And they're here to be able to speak to that capacity. And so where they could have taken some of that load, yes, they could have if they weren't doing it. So now we're going to ask an in-state, basically an interior refinery, to compete with an import business.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's brought to light a lot more issues of now what really is the problem and why do you have this unevenness mm-hmm. as far as competition goes. And the Quality Bank, of course, rose to the top because it's one of the biggest payments there are, mm-hmm. as well as the two pipes that go between. And then there'll be smaller portions of that, like the railroad and others that, you know, Flint Hills was the major entity there, and so most of it was sent from PetroStar over to Flint Hills and then sent that direction. And as directed by this committee, to go back and see if we can, you know, not be so broad in the first one, which was really just, you know, basically beat the table and say, do something, do it now, because we don't want them to close. Mm-hmm. It became a much bigger issue, especially as we started looking at the contract also with Tesoro and listened to some of their issues. And there's also one in Valdez, the PetroStar in Valdez, and really learning a lot more about what issues that they face. And then the other part is definitely WTI and ANS, those two entities, being so far apart. It's done that before, and that part will probably adjust. The question is, can they stay afloat while that happens? Or do we just one by one lose an industry that we, especially in the interior, are very dependent upon?
Mm. Other questions for the sponsor, for the commissioner, Representative Seaton?
Thank you. I guess a couple of things. First of all, settlements. We had the TAP settlement, and we got stuck losing $6 billion or so, because it was a settlement, and so we couldn't change it. As you stated, Commissioner, the situations change. It could go back, so WTI and Brent are quite different the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I don't think that when prior administrations were thinking about making a settlement that they were trying to create a large windfall for other companies at a loss to the state. How, if we would pursue a settlement in this that the legislature wouldn't have any impact on and wouldn't be able to change, how is it that we're going to be able to protect the long-term financial health of the state? I mean, this is kind of an open-ended resolution saying, hey, do something. You've talked about $50 million benefit to the state in the Quality Bank. We're talking about the difference in WTI and Brent or ANS West Coast. So anyway, maybe you can round that out a bit for me, even though you're not yet named in here. I think you probably know more about this than some of the other players.
Well, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Seaton, the way I would interpret the language reflected here is to seek a settlement and resolution. And on line 24, it says, in a manner that will provide long-term Quality Bank stability. Now, in order for something to be stable over the long term, it's going to have to be fair to all parties. And it may require adjustment from time to time. So, you know, whether that is, you know, a broad reopener or simply a recalibration of some of the indices or pricing mechanisms within the Quality Bank itself, there's a variety of ways to achieve that. And I can imagine it working many ways, similar to how our royalty settlement agreements function, which is, you know, we have big, broad reopeners every 10 years or so, but we have specific reopeners on things like marine transportation every couple of years. We've got them on a three-year rotation, so we deal with one each year. So if that suffices for your concern, you know, that's the way I would interpret the direction being given here.
Bob?
Yeah.
Go on.
And I guess I'm concerned in that same resolve where before January 1st, that means the legislature is not going to be involved at all. There's not going to be anything bringing back to the legislature for ratification or for agreements or anything else. This is just, this resolution calls for administration, not even you, but administration to go out and negotiate something to keep somebody in business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned, and I want to hear from you, your perspective on the, since this is almost a legislative appropriation, because we're talking about money that we are going to not have. I mean, if we're $50 million in the Quality Bank to the state now, mm-hmm. and we don't know, I haven't heard yet how much possibly that would be reduced, you know, pushing across the table. It may be an indirect expenditure, but it's really an expenditure, and we're authorizing that for a long-term, maybe permanent. And so, and it's not just one refinery, it's all the refineries, is what I'm understanding. Or maybe the Quality Bank concern is just those that are taking out of TAPS. Maybe it wouldn't be at Tesoro, even though Tesoro gets some TAPS. Anyway, if you could address that as to if legislative approval would be something that we should request in here. Not from your standpoint, but from ours.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, first I would just observe that if the two remaining refineries on TAPS were to shut down, we wouldn't receive that monetary benefit anymore anyway. Number two is the nature of our government settlements generally don't come back to the legislature for any sort of legislative approval or ratification. If there is a transfer of value or payment required by the state, then typically those require an appropriation to support them. I can't imagine a scenario where that's the case. January 1, 2015, we would take as a very strong suggestion, but not a requirement, In this case, we're dealing with many other parties, and so even if we have some urgency, they won't necessarily have the same urgency. So I think the overarching message here is to get with it and try to get done because of the impact it's having on the remaining refineries, and would observe that the cycle for annual renewal of purchase contracts for crude oil occurs, I believe, in the first quarter or end of the first quarter each year. So trying to target that kind of time frame in the calendar would be most helpful for the decisions that those operations would need to make.
Okay. With that, I'm going to pass the gavel at this point. I want to recognize for the record Representative Johnson joined us about 5 minutes ago. I've got business elsewhere in the building, but if this should pass before I get back, I just want to voice my support for the goals of this resolution and my thanks to the sponsor for bringing it forward. There's a compelling interest in my mind to make sure that there is good refining capacity to provide jet fuel to support military bases. That's important to me in my district. And, of course, it's important to have refineries operating for Interior Alaska and the rest of the state, too. So in case I don't get a chance to get back, I like it. And actually, at this point, I'm going to make an amendment. Amendment number one is going to accommodate the intent of the commissioner to include on page one, line one, after the word governor, insert commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources.
You have.
He's going to get his amendment. We can put your initials on it. Likewise, on page 2, line 22, following the word governor, insert commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. So that is amendment 1. And would ask for any objection to including the commissioner in this negotiating settlement party. Seeing no objection, amendment 1 is adopted. And I pass the gavel. Thank you very much.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Representative Feige. Mr. Chair, I'd just like to add one thing to Representative Seaton's question, and we discussed a lot of this in finance. I just want to make sure we don't lose one important portion of this, is that, yes, it's very important, the monies that come to the state. But in my opinion, because the state has been, and sorry about this, more proactive on making sure that the biggest bang for the buck comes to the state, in my opinion, that's why we're sitting here today, is because, you know, we had a royalty oil contract that ended up not maybe being the best for the entity that it went to keep them economical, and they were able to then go out and find a different way to be able to still get their contracts and therefore closing. And so, as I put with my others, the first question you have to answer, even with this resolution, how important is in-state refinery to the state of Alaska? You know, not just for the cost portion of it, but because of our military bases, because of security reasons, do we really want to be an import state? Do we want to export all of our resources just to import the rest of it? So I completely understand where you're coming from, that we don't want to just give money away, which we like to use that phrase there a lot. But I think what we've lost sometimes is what we're losing in the meantime, because it seems like we're so much more focused on that bottom dollar for state government than the businesses that are what's going to make our state great are just, you know, make us, you know, at the hands of others. Because eventually, if both refineries stay open, we're going to be good. If one closes and we end up with just the import, they're going to be able to keep it low for now. And then when they're the only game in town, you're going to see those rise. And it's not going to be just in the interior with our heating costs. But again, I want to remind you that it goes to our military bases, it goes to our airports, and it's just going to be a domino effect. So I just want to make sure that we realize there's two major parts to this. And, you know, from my own frustration, we already lost a major part of this industry that at this point, I don't know whether we get back. But I really want to make sure, in case you didn't figure it out, that I'm really passionate about making sure we don't lose any more than we already have.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to make sure that we're looking at this a little more holistically. I mean, the railroad has had a real hard problem for a year because the refineries were not refining the fuel there. It was being imported for Anchorage. So I don't know how, you know, I mean, I just have to step back and be careful that we're not trying to get inside of businesses and say, okay, we're going to make this business profitable and then they turn around and import fuel anyway because it's cheaper to do it than, you know, retooling refinery or whatever they're going would need to do. So I'm definitely not against in-state refinery. I'm always for value-added, in-state value-added products. But, you know, our question here is, you know, how we get there. And I just, as I expressed to the commissioner a minute ago and to the committee, is I really worry about it when we talk about settlements and then we're stuck for how many years. And the TAP settlement was at least $6 billion we lost. Because we had a settlement there that didn't have the appropriate openers. So I guess I'm less comfortable on line 23 to seek a settlement if we leave settlement and out and say to seek a resolution of the TAPS Quality Bank, because I'm not sure that proposing that we negotiate a settlement without having some or a settlement with appropriate reopeners or something in there. I don't want to say from the House of Representatives that we want to stick ourselves in the box that we got into a TAP settlement. So if there's some way that the sponsor or the commissioner would think that we could accomplish that by adding a phrase in there with appropriate reopeners or leaving out the settlement and just calling for a resolution. Could I have a brief at ease while we just talk about this?
Please.
All right, we're back on the record. And Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make amendment number 2, which on page 2, line 23, would remove the words settlement and.
There are no objection. Amendment 2 is adopted. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As long as we're wordsmithing, why wouldn't you just say resolution so it's not singular? Seek resolution, not a resolution.
Seeking resolution, so yeah.
There may be more than one.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Representative Johnson, that makes sense because we really don't want to tie the hands of DNR or the governor and whatever appears there. We want to make sure, again, you know, then that's why January 15, 2015 is on here, is sooner than later, because later just may not make a difference. So I would appreciate that. Maybe that could be a friendly amendment to amendment number 2.
Amendment 2 has been adopted. It's been
never
adopted.
Mind. We'll make it though. I'm so sorry.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
I'd like to move amendment number 3, which on line 23 after seek, delete A.
Hearing no objection?
Yes.
Amendment number 3 is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you. And in accepting amendments 2 and 3, I want to be on the record that there is the language that's remaining is to seek resolution. Seek does not have any connotation of finding a conclusion. Seek is look for. I want to just be very clear myself on the record that the language we are left with, seek resolution, does not preclude resolving and settling the issues that are in play.
I see a lot of heads nodding around the committee table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. At this time, it might be useful to actually hear from the company that runs the refinery that we're all talking about.
Did you accept that amendment? I didn't hear anyone ask for objections or anything. I was maybe asleep. Yeah. Thank you.
I believe I did say it, Representative Johnson, but for the record, hearing no objections, amendment number 3 is adopted.
At this time, I think it's appropriate to bring up Doug Chapito from the PetroStar. And you may ask questions at will. Mr. Chapito, if you could just introduce yourself for the record and explain your position at PetroStar.
Thank you, Co-Chair Feige. My name is Doug Chapito. I'm the President and CEO of PetroStar. And perhaps, Mr. Chairman, I could offer a little bit of background and some real numbers in terms of what the Quality Bank is for PetroStar, how impactful it is, and what it's really doing to our business.
And please feel free. Go ahead.
Over the past 9 years, we've made payments prior to that period, but in the last 9 years alone, PetroStar has paid in over $500 million into the Quality Bank. Half of that amount has been paid out in just the last 3 years alone. I raise that point to identify the fact that Quality Bank is getting worse while our market conditions are also getting worse. Quality Bank at this point is taking a larger and larger portion of the gross margins that exist between the products that we refine and sell and the raw materials that we are purchasing to produce those. To give you some frame of reference, there were times in the month of March that our raw material costs for ANS crude oil plus Quality Bank actually exceeded the delivered cost of jet fuel to the Port of Anchorage. What that suggests to me is that jet fuel has more value mixed in with the crude oil stream than it does after we've refined it and moved it to the ultimate end user. That situation is the one that we've identified as being just really strangling our business. We used to be able to make a small, very small profit on very large volumes of jet fuel. Today, that is no longer the case. We typically sell at a loss on every gallon. One of the reasons for that is Quality Bank. The other is the very high cost of ANS crude oil. This resolution addresses really the Quality Bank portion of that. But I think at the same time, all of you are also recognizing that this isn't just a single impact to a single refiner, that this has ripple effect throughout the economy. Representative Seaton mentioned the fact that the railroad is experiencing some difficulties given the smaller volumes that are moving down from North Pole to the Anchorage market. We've actually have a project on the books right now that we would like to move forward with, but given our current economic circumstance, have put on hold, that would allow us to ship product to market using the railroad and ship it both from North Pole and from our Valdez refinery ultimately. Those are the sorts of things we can do if we have a better economic situation, but that's not the outlook that we see right now. As I mentioned earlier, Quality Bank is getting worse at the same time our markets are getting worse. And that's something that we can't control. The complaint that was filed by Flint Hills goes a long ways towards addressing what we see are the flaws in the current Quality Bank methodology, and it is something that we believe forms the basis of what might be a settlement position in the future.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. And I think you were here and you heard my questions, not really questions, but concerns about settlements. So as you were looking at Quality Bank issues, will you be looking at them on a long-term variable basis depending upon what price differentials there are or what the other factors are that are in the marketplace at the time? Because I'm very concerned that we don't get into the position that we had before, where we were looking at one set of circumstances. We had a settlement for that set of circumstances. Circumstances changed, and there was loss for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So as you, presuming this goes forward, would you be looking at a system that would be self-correcting for all of those variables, or have a reopener or something like that?
through the chair, Representative Seaton, the Quality Bank is actually intended to have that sort of self-correcting process to it. The way it is set up, it values, as Commissioner Balash spoke to, the various components within the crude oil are valued according to market conditions and pricings in many cases. The basis of the Flint Hills complaint actually addresses the valuation for one of those components, and it is one of the components that does not have a market price index, and there's a formula, very complex formula used to determine that. That is what we're seeking to change, or I should say that's what Flint Hills was seeking to change through their complaint. We were supportive of the Flint Hills complaint. As you've noted, it has now been turned into an investigation by FERC. That being the case, I believe, to answer your question, that yes, I think a settlement can be struck that is equitable to all parties, that it, you know, that it corrects what we see as a flaw in the existing Quality Bank methodology, and at the same time it preserves our ability to make a profit on the gallons that we refine, while at the same time appropriately compensating shippers for the fact that we do in fact degrade their crude oil stream by re-injecting our streams from the refinery after the processing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Oh, I have another one.
No, Representative Seaton.
Thanks. This is a broad impact. You're talking about your own. I'm trying to figure out how this would impact the other refineries in the state, or do you have an estimation of that?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, to answer your question, the other refinery that is similarly situated to Petrostar is Flint Hills. So our three refineries are all treated in the same fashion with respect to the return oil streams that we send back to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Tesoro in our Nikiski refinery is not subject to the Quality Bank. But I do know that Quality Bank actually is reflected in the sales price of royalty crude oil. It's both at the wellhead and in terms of RIK sales to in-state refiners.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other questions from committee? Okay, thanks
for this opportunity.
Thank you. All right, this time I'd like to move amendment number 4, which on page 1, line 1, after the word seek, we'll delete the words a settlement and. This is to conform with previous amendments. There are no objection. Amendment number 4 is adopted. What is the will of the committee? Representative Walker?
Yeah.
Don? Oh, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move.
Just a second. We'll need to do public testimony.
We should do that.
That would be appropriate. At this time, we have online Merrick Pierce from Fairbanks, and I will open public testimony. And Mr. Pierce, go ahead.
Thank you, Co-Chairman Feige and committee members. I had a couple of concerns about the original resolution. I just read the CS at the beginning of the meeting. The first was the final whereas about the cell phone issue and the other with regard to what is still missing from the CS. The final whereas language read in part in the original resolution. Whereas if DEC expeditiously set a reasonable cleanup standard supported by science for the Flint Hills refinery, it is possible a new buyer for the refinery could be found. And of course, there are two problems with that. First, the governor has already said he'd indemnify a future purchaser of the refinery for the responsibility for the contamination issue. So that statement isn't logical. It also suggests that what the drinking water division at DEC has already concluded with regard to acceptable contamination levels of an industrial solvent in the drinking water is an error, and there is, of course, no evidence to support that conclusion. So, a great concern is that we not create through bad policy calls an economic dead zone in this area of contamination. If we assume that one is looking to buy a home, two homes identical in price and size, but one home has contaminated drinking water and the other does not, which home gets sold. Further, which home could be financed through a bank mortgage. The great concern is that over time, this contaminated area will become an economic dead zone where homes will not be built. The owners of existing homes will find it very difficult to sell, and over time, this area will begin to look like Detroit with abandoned homes. So the final whereas was without merit, and I'm glad it was pulled. The concern that still remains is what's missing in the CS, and this speaks more broadly to the issues that Representative Seaton and Co-Chair Feige have raised. And it's a discussion about what we can and should be doing to improve the economics of these refineries. And so far, the Parnell administration has said it wants to engage in corporate welfare, to throw hundreds of millions of public dollars at these private companies to try and prop them up at a time when the administration has created multi-billion dollar deficits. The rational discussion is to place attention on the decision to try and route a gas line around Fairbanks. To not route the gas line down the Taps Corridor, as the voters in our community have asked, and the Parnell administration wants the gas line routed 50 miles from North Pole out in the Mental Flats to go down the Parks Highway, and of course it never gets to Valdez or the Valdez refinery. Cost of energy is a huge concern for any refiner or any large energy user, and Flint Hills has publicly described its cost of operation is 3 times higher than other refineries. And all refineries, except a few in Alaska, that'd be the Petrostar refineries in North Pole and Valdez and the North Pole Flint Hills refinery, they use natural gas to run process equipment that heats crude to the requisite temperatures to produce fuel oil, naphtha, gasoline, et cetera. The refinery running on expensive ANS crude has an extreme disadvantage against refineries that run on cheap natural gas, and the difference is roughly $4 per million BTUs for heat versus paying around $30 per million BTUs for heat, or about 7.5 times more on a BTU equivalence basis than other refineries. To address this issue, the refinery, as does all the Fairbanks, North Pole, and Valdez, requires a large diameter gas line with economy of scale that can deliver natural gas with distance-sensitive rates around $4 per million BTUs. And what is happening with these refineries illustrates that Alaska competes within the world markets. The U.S. now has free trade agreements with 20 nations, and if I'm a manufacturer, I can access both cheaper energy and cheaper labor overseas without tariff restrictions. How viable does Alaska look long-term? So to conclude, Mr. Chairman, the question you have to ask is, well, is if we want Alaska's refiners or mines or manufacturing businesses and to a lesser extent our military bases to be able to compete in the world markets, if we do, then we'd insert a final whereas in the resolution that makes note of the benefit of ensuring these entities have proximate access to a large diameter gas line, that is, a large gas pipeline that parallels the Taps Corridor and delivers the lowest possible cost energy. So I'll conclude my remarks with that, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your time and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Questions from committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Do we have anybody else online? Is there anybody else in the room that would like to testify? Okay, at this time I'll close public testimony and open HCR 22 as amended up for discussion. Representative Tarr.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It's not that I disagree with what the content of the resolution suggests or the problem stated. It's just a vast departure from the original measure, so it seems like it would have been more appropriate to do a new resolution. But with that, I guess we'll consider the resolution that's before us.
Any other discussion? I'd just like to note that keeping a refinery industry up and running in the state does have benefits to the state. And those benefits are, A, security. There's also a strategic benefit to having operating refineries in our state. You look at world events, I'm sure the folks in Crimea who were surprised one day when Russian tanks rolled into their country or their part of the Ukraine. You know, to say that could happen here, I don't know that, but it's certainly a consideration that we should always keep in the back of our minds. If the seaborne supply routes to Alaska are threatened, either up the west coast of North America or across the northern Pacific, not having refineries could be an extreme disadvantage to our state and certainly an impact on the economy. The economic benefit of having refineries in the state is significant, especially in the Fairbanks area. And
I think these, you know, certainly the arguments that have been raised regarding Quality Bank are certainly valid, valid issues that can be resolved. And it is my hope that this resolution will go a long ways towards helping the state and industry and the FERC come to an agreement on how better to apply the concept of a Quality Bank. So, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, I fully agree that having value-added industry in our state is, to our raw resources is very beneficial. You know, however, we do live in a world economy, and we do need to make sure that we are competitive. And I'm happy that this resolution has not sought to have a cost differential for in-state, which I believe would be a huge liability for the state in sales of our crude to out-of-state refiners. But I'm pleased that the amendments brought this back so that we're not, so that we're looking at a resolution of the problem, and I think the Quality Bank issues is a good portion of that resolution. And also, I forgot to ask when we had the testifier up about if their refinery was the one that had the heat contract with Alyeska. And if it doesn't, I think that that's another element, because the heat in the Alyeska is of value. And I think that we ought not to be only sitting here saying that we're going to take Quality Bank issues, but we should also just put on the table all that the heat necessary to keep taps running during the winter is a huge huge issue, and there is value to that, and that ought to be recognized in commercial agreements as well with Alyeska and the in-state refineries, because otherwise we're asking the in-state refineries to subsidize Alyeska. You know, we do pay part of that, but it's a benefit. So just wanted to put that on the table. I'll be supporting the resolution, but I don't think we ought to think that that's the only mechanism that we can get there to have greater value for in-state refineries.
Okay. Any further discussion from committee? Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 22 as amended from committee with the attached zero fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, HR 22 will move out of committee and take a brief at ease while we sign the papers. At this point, we're on the record, back on the record, and this is this will probably be the last meeting of this committee for this legislature. I'd like to thank you all very much for your service. Did a lot of good work. We're adjourned.